The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What exactly is it that we do, Mr.
We
Rose?
We give the people what they want.
The Super Bowl is set. It will be Brady versus Mahomes, and we will start the show with the former Tom Brady in Lambeau.
Here's
with the
story.
Buccaneers. End of the first half. They get this pick. Tom Brady puts on the big coat, takes it off, comes back in the game, and delivers this dime to Scotty Miller in the end zone, and again on Kevin King, who will be victimized throughout the day. Jalen, watching this game, what did you think about Tom Brady and the Bucs' performance?
I'm like, man, change clothes and go, because they was going to punt it first, right? And then they called timeout, and they drew up that play. And it was kind of similar to what Mike Evans did earlier in the game, except he took this one all the way to the end zone. And you're right. They was picking on King all game.
Yep.
I even called my Fab Five brother Jimmy. I was like, yo, he misrepresenting the name today. He misrepresenting the name today, dog. And that play, I believe, was the game-changing, momentum-building play that actually led to Tampa going on to win this game, in particular, the way Brady struggled in the second half.
Brady did struggle in the second half through some interceptions, but it was also the Buccaneers defense that needs to be celebrated today, because it was JPP. And it was the big guy in the middle. And then it was also Shaq Barrett getting after Rodgers. And so much is going to be made of some of the decisions that were made late in the game, and we'll get to those. But I think that not enough people are giving flowers to this defensive unit that did a good job at shutting down the soon-to-be MVP and that Packers offense and limiting Adams. And, of course, Jones got injured, but limiting him and getting the ball loose from him before he was injured. What do you think about the Buccaneers' defensive effort?
And also, you got to give credit to Todd Bowles, because here's the thing, Jacoby, about that defense, right? Shaq Barrett was an elite high number sack guy last year.
Mm-hmm.
So he had already been balling before Brady arrived. How about JPP? Would he overcome? Had an accident around the 4th of July a few years ago and basically blew off a couple of his fingers. And he's still playing professional football, getting sacks, leading the team to the Super Bowl. So you're exactly right. We're going to make it about the quarterback position because it's the glamour spot. Yep. But that defense and those big boys was getting after it yesterday. They needed it too, because they had to carry Brady in the second half. Total team victory.
Well, they always use the term Monday morning quarterback, and it's because of decisions like this. Let's listen to the Packers quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, about his head coach taking the ball out of his hands in a key fourth and goal in the fourth quarter. Here's Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I look over the sideline. I see, you know, five big guys around the field. There's a lot of gymnastics that has to happen to get us, you know, to be able to go for it there. But,
yeah,
and I don't know. That decision was made, and we moved on.
Jalen, in the moment when they made the decision to kick the field goal, what did you think?
Jacoby, it was all good just a week ago. Like, I was extremely conflicted, because I did see them really struggle, in particular Rodgers to Adams, time and time again in the red zone, not be able to connect.
Yep.
And it was just the opposite the entire season. So I understood, I get it. I understand why you want to kick the field goal. I get it. You want to get it to five. And then all of a sudden, if we score, we win the game. And we go on to the Super Bowl. But if you're the CEO of that situation as the head coach, Jacoby, as I sit back and I look at all the variables involved, I think about how even though Aaron Rodgers is a superstar player, it seems like they don't necessarily give him the cachet that he deserves within the organization.
Mm.
And I don't like to see sad Aaron Rodgers at the press conference. I like to see Aaron Rodgers talking about a heavy pour of scotch.
Yes, and, how many fingers of scotch?
And it's like, wait a minute. Y'all ain't on the phone with Aaron Rodgers talking to him about what y'all gonna do with y'all first round pick? Aaron Rodgers can't decide if gymnastics between third and fourth down is gonna happen? Like, wait a minute, he didn't know? He thought that they was gonna have four downs? And so that's probably why he didn't run it in earlier as opposed to taking that risk? And so Jacoby, as I really think back at all of this, Matt LaFleur should have put it in Aaron Rodgers' hands. So therefore, if Aaron Rodgers don't come through, he'd be the person getting the blame. But since he didn't and they didn't, now Aaron Rodgers is going to be a hero in this movie.
I know that's how you think. I like that you brought it up because you said CEO, that brings me to the corporate world. And in the corporate world, you just want to make sure that you're not the one to blame. If LaFleur left Aaron Rodgers on the field and Aaron Rodgers then throws another incomplete pass and they turn the ball over and lose the game, now it's on Aaron Rodgers. But one of the reasons that I believed he actually kicked that field goal was the ineptitude of Aaron Rodgers that brought them to that point. You mentioned his connection with Davante Adams around the goal line. They had one possession where they tried Davante Adams on three straight plays and couldn't connect to him once. And you saw the three previous plays, they weren't close to scoring on first down and second down and third down. So you're looking at fourth down, not from the two, not from the four, not from the five. It's from the 8 yard line. Like, you look at these plays, these are not near misses. Like, these are throws that aren't even close. And then the one where he should have ran it in, watch this, completely covered. This is a double, throwing into double coverage here. Like, I understand why he kicked it. The problem with kicking it is this: if you kick it, you have to get a stop to win the game. If you don't kick it, you have to get a stop to win the game. Might as well go for it on fourth down.
But if you're the Green Bay Packers and your goal is to play boss to versus worker to Aaron Rodgers, then you got to continue and let it allow that to play itself out. Allow him, like you just said, to come up short on fourth down, and then now people probably question Aaron Rodgers not getting it done. They'll say, well, Tom Brady, when he had his fourth down in the first half, him and Bruce Arians was on the same page. Bruce said that he allowed him to coach now. They ain't allowed him to do that to New England. And he trusted his guy, and his guy came through to Scotty Miller deep. So now you ain't trusting your guy. So if that was their goal when you draft somebody in the first round, Jacoby, and you're not allowing him to make the decision whether you're going to go for it or not, that was their chance to go ahead and let him fail. They didn't do it. So now anybody like me... Absolutely. So now it's like we're looking at the coach and not the player, because he should have gave Aaron Rodgers that chance, Jacoby. Tom Brady going to get a first down. On the first play, they got 9 yards. I know in your head it's like he said
it. 2 minute warning,
like we got three touchdowns. We got three timeouts. We got the 2 minute warning. I know that sounds good. But Tom Brady needs one first down.
He's going to get a first down. Well, you know that I'm a lifelong diehard member of Bills Mafia, and the Bills ran into a buzzsaw that was the Kansas City Chiefs. You know what happened? Better football team, better football players. It was just that simple. That's what it looked like in the night game between the Bills and the Chiefs. What did you see from the Super Bowl champions?
I see what I've been saying all year. Anybody that's watched this show, look, the Kansas City Chiefs are in fast forward. Did you see the cheetah yesterday?
You can't tackle him. You can't catch him. He's too fast.
Did you see the cheetah yesterday?
He's too fast.
Like, seriously, man. Like, and Kelce, what about those hands and how he glides in the open field and sheds tackles? And then Mahomes, Hardman muffed the play and it led to a score at the beginning of the game. They probably was like, good. Now we got to pass every time. Yeah, now we got to pass every time. They love coming from behind. Andy Reid just loves dialing up pass plays. Eric Bieniemy, like, oh, all these head coaching jobs got filled, and y'all don't want to, I'm over. See, that's what happens, Jacoby. I can't front. Sometimes when you look like me, people feel like, oh, now when I'm overqualified, people don't want to give me top dollar. Now look at the Super Bowl. You got Brian Leftwich on one side. and you have two black offensive coordinators. So the Kansas City Chiefs are in fast forward. I agree with you, the better football team won. But what about your Bills Mafia, your lifetime membership? How are you dealing with this disappointment? You found a way to attach your love to a situation, and it came up short. How do you feel?
It didn't. It did not come up short. This was a successful season for me and the Bills Mafia. And you know what? I'm not leaving the Bills Mafia. I'm staying with the Bills for another season because what? This is what you have to do. You have to get to the precipice, and then you get over it. This was a great season. Two home playoff victories for the Buffalo Bills that hasn't happened in a quarter century. That is an extremely successful season. How dare you mention this team came up short? They did not come up short. You do not have to win a championship or bust. That is not
Jacoby
how the world works. There is nothing wrong with going to the AFC Championship and losing to a better football team. And you mentioned Tyreek Hill and Kelce. The two combined for 22 catches and about 300 yards. It just seemed like whenever you needed it, Hill will get you 20 yards. Whenever you need it, Kelsey's going to be wide open for a first down. Like, those two are just unstoppable. Patrick Mahomes using those type of weapons. And you mentioned Mecole Hardman muffing the punt. They basically spotted the Bills 10 points. They missed the extra points, so it was 9 points. But even at that point, it was just, this wasn't a great game from Josh Allen. It really wasn't. And low-key, Josh Allen didn't have a great game all playoffs long, but I think that this experience of getting to the AFC Championship game will be key for these Bills. Look at Josh Allen. Like, why are you running 25 yards backwards and getting sacked?
Well, they got the Honey Badger on the blitz.
Why are you running 25 yards backwards?
Frank Clark, University of Michigan. You saw with his Joe Namath fur coat on post game. You got five guys in the backfield. You see, like, get off me, man. Just threw the ball. You know, Jaylen, like street football. Jaylen, like, get off me, man.
You know, I said that I would jump through a folding table if the Bills won, and obviously that's not going to happen. But I did get this text from you. To me and our producer. Check out this text from you. I believe Jacoby should still jump through a table to say thanks to Bills Mafia. I believe Jacoby should still jump through a table to say thanks to Bills Mafia. You are just dying to get me hurt because you know that either my back or that table or both are breaking if that is to happen. However, when the Bills make it to the Super Bowl next year, I will jump through the table.
You know, the great thing about that text chain is Demetrius was like, I'm with it. Like, he was the person that got to jump. I love this show so much. We got the greatest staff in the history of television and podcast.
So, Jaylen, we have 2 weeks to break down every single storyline leading up to the Super Bowl. We know how exhausting these 2 weeks can be when it comes to discussion about the Super Bowl. But your quick reaction to this matchup, the Chiefs and Mahomes against Brady and the Bucks.
Old school Chevy to drop top Porsches. Couldn't walk a mile off in my... Because that's what we have here. Tom Brady, been there, done that. The accolades continue to happen. And, hey, Tommy, can I get some Michigan Wolverines music?
What?
Celebrate my guy, Tom Brady, please, who took the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to the Super Bowl? The Buccaneers? To the Super Bowl?
He better enjoy that trophy that he's got in his hand because there is no chance that he'll be holding up the Lombardi at the end of the Super Bowl. You know the Chiefs are winning this one. So enjoy it, Tom Brady. Enjoy these 2 weeks because the Chiefs are coming to town and they're going to take you down. We have so much more to discuss, including Matthew Stafford. Looks like he will no longer be under center for the Lions. Really looks like you guys should have drafted a quarterback, huh? We'll discuss that and so much more. Stay tuned. You're watching Jaylen Jacoby. Coming to you live from Pier 17 in the South Street Seaport District of Manhattan and brought to you by Chase. Welcome back to Jaylen and Jacoby. Jaylen, this is where we all make the regrettable decision to allow you to decide what we discuss. It is time for Keep It Moving.
Woo!
If you want to discuss the topic, say hit the brakes. If not, we will keep it moving. And we start in Detroit with your terrible dumpster fire of a franchise. The Detroit Lions have some news about the quarterback position. They are actively seeking to trade Matthew Stafford. Your feelings as a lifelong Lions fan.
I tried to get Matthew Stafford rescued the last couple of years. You know I'm a diehard Lions fan, but he's a good football player. And I felt like these last couple of years, he could have been balling on a contender, getting some wins and elevating his numbers and put himself in position for Hall of Fame status. That wasn't going to happen here with his dollar figure at that point of his career. That's why I was saying in a quarterback-heavy draft last season, you should pick a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, yes, we did take Jeff Okuda, but we still are going to be looking for a quarterback.
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
The Lions are so bad. They're just so bad. You ran Barry Sanders out of town. You ran Megatron out of town. And now you're actively seeking Matt Stafford after not drafting a quarterback. Well, there is another quarterback on the market, potentially. A gentleman by the name of Deshaun Watson. Keep moving
ahead of the breaks.
He said, I don't care who you hired as a head coach. I'm gone. I don't care who you hire. You can hire my dad. You can hire my brother. I'm gone. Don't even talk to me about the head coach position. What do you think about this stance from Deshaun Watson?
I want to talk to the ownership of the Texans and of the Packers. Yes, those are y'all football teams. You can own them for in perpetuity in your family. Pass it on for generations to generations. Congratulations. But you may not realize you have generational talents under center that you should be including in big time decisions as it relates to the front office, coaching staff, and the roster. And if we're gonna go for it on fourth down or not. When you're not doing that, Jacoby, you're doing your franchise a major disservice when you're not in a court with Deshaun Watson and Aaron Rodgers. Both of those guys seem like they deserve to be elsewhere. How about that, Jacoby? They deserve to be elsewhere. Aaron Rodgers ain't finishing with the Packers. Deshaun clearly ain't finishing with the Texans. And it's only because ownership ain't working in accord with them. And that's crazy to me.
Jalen, Dame Lillard putting together big performances
Dame
this season. He had 39 points, his third straight game of 35 plus. This one came in a win over the New York Knicks.
You know I like to see my Bay Area cousin putting in work. Hella work for the town. But here's the thing, though. Dame Daddy just had twins, Jacoby. Big shout to him and his family. Congratulations. And also, I love how he put the 70, I love how he put the 57-6 in his shoe.
Mm-hmm.
The way he shot down OKC out of the playoffs, that was a boss move.
Dame, if you need twins advice, hit me up. Like you, I have an older one, and then came twins. I've got some advice for you. Moving on, we have Jaylen Brown with a unique performance against the Cavs.
Hit the brakes.
We'll hit the brakes on this one. In just 19 minutes, Jaylen Brown scored 33 points. If you haven't been paying attention, Jaylen Brown has put together a really, really good season thus far.
That's all I wanted to say is Jaylen Brown is so improved for a guy that didn't make the All-Star team last year. It's not like the Luka leap where I'm going to say he's a top 10 player, but he legit All-NBA consistently now.
Mm-hmm.
And all defense.
Plays both ends of the floor with Jason Tatum being out because of COVID protocols. They need it, and he has delivered night in and night out.
And he might run for president of the United States one day. He and Malcolm Brogdon.
Well, quietly, the Clippers are putting together win after win after win. Keep moving to hit the brakes.
I'm happy to see Ballmer's group balling, but you know they're going to be judged by what happens in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Keep it moving for now.
We keep it moving. We keep it moving.
On LaMelo Ball's Hornets, Gordon Hayward has put together some big games. Gordon Hayward had 39 and a game winner in this one to stop a losing streak for the Hornets. What do you think about this Hornets nucleus that they've put together down there, Charlotte?
LeVar Ball is right. You tricked me right there. Because when you said LaMelo, I said hit the brakes.
That's what you took
on Hayward. But you weren't even here to talk about him.
We'll keep it moving. We'll keep it moving.
We keep it moving. We keep it moving.
Mike Thomas still feels a certain way about how he was used with the Saints.
Oh, hit the brakes.
Well, Mike Thomas took to Twitter and said these things that certainly were not very veiled shots at the way he was being used. Basically, he's saying that I'm running a shallow cross all day and anyone can cover that. What do you think about Mike Thomas and his relationship with the Saints? And let's also note that Mike Thomas had some surgeries for some issues he had during the season.
Well, in all fairness, Drew Brees, a future Hall of Famer, clearly wasn't able to throw the deep ball the way he should the last couple of years in order to be a threat to the defense to take the top off. That is an absolute fact. But what I will say, he is the same quarterback that hooked up with Thomas and they broke NFL record for catches in a season. That also did take place. So for me, it's the same storyline as I've been saying all year. They were not in accord since the Colin Kaepernick and the flag incident took place in the offseason. It just seems like the season started to be turbulent and it ended as such.
Sure did. It ended with him having zero receptions in a playoff game. Jalen, Conor McGregor got knocked out late Saturday night. We'll discuss that and much more. Stay tuned. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby. Wednesday night doubleheader. Two powerhouses go head-to-head in the first matchup at 7:30. It is the Lakers against the 76ers. And then in the nightcap at 10 p.m., it is the Timberwolves against the Warriors. All of that is Wednesday night on ESPN. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, I stayed up way past my bedtime on Saturday night and watched Conor McGregor get knocked out. Now, it was all about the kicks from Poirier on Conor McGregor's front leg. Not a sexy thing, not a highlight, but man, he took out Conor McGregor's base.
I want to give Poirier the credit, though, Jacoby. Like, he stopped Conor. And I saw them after the fight when Conor was like, we got to do it again. His suit was clean and old boy was dressed like a high school kid, but Conor was limping. He wounded Conor, so I want to give him credit.
That was a much anticipated matchup on Saturday night, but there's another matchup that was released this weekend. That is Godzilla vs. Kong. The trailer came out and KD says he can't see Godzilla losing. Who do you have in
King
Godzilla
vs.
Kong?
Ain't got nothing on me. You know who I got. Don't play. That's a
we'll be back
day
tomorrow
reference.
At 2 p.m. on ESPN2. You got to give the people. We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is podcast exclusive content. Now, Jalen Anthony Rose, something happened on our show on Friday that needs to be addressed. We had legends of the culture. Two of the creators of the Versus movement, Timbaland, Swizz Beatz, right here on Jalen and Jacoby. And then Timbaland was about to spill some beans and then Swizz Beatz stopped him. Like, Timbaland was about to say something he shouldn't say. Like, whenever you start to say something you're about to say, you know how I sometimes get my body in front of that? You could tell Swizz Beatz was doing the same thing to Timbaland. It was early for Timbaland. He was about to say something he shouldn't say. But they did let something leak, and that was that they are currently working on getting a Tupac versus Biggie versus battle. That, my friend, you know how like some World Cup countries, like they make it a holiday if the team makes the World Cup championship? Like they would have to shut down the entire country, the entire continent of North America for that battle. We would talk about that like we'll be talking about the Super Bowl for the next 2 weeks. Like that's how big that battle would be. Now, Jalen, let's forget about the how they would pull it off. Who would you have in this? Tupac versus Biggie, track for track, about 20 tracks apiece. Who you picking?
Tupac. I just wanted to make sure I got my answer out as fast as possible.
Okay.
While respecting both legends. I heard about Coachella, living in LA 20 plus years. And from the outside looking in, it always looked like a fun time, but it always felt like, probably wasn't necessarily for me. Right.
A little cultural.
Yeah, it wasn't for me. And then I heard that they was gonna have a Eazy-E hologram. I was trying to get there. I already had Tupac hologram and I missed it. I was like, I'm trying to get there. Now, I believe I may be freaked out by a hologram, which is another subject for another day. But
No, that's the subject for today. Why are you freaked out by hologram? Because you know what? Just like FaceTime, we'll be having holograms. Like, you're never going to leave the house. You're never going to come to the studio again. But like in 10 years, I'll be doing the show with the Jalen hologram. I promise.
I want to celebrate the greatness of those artists. And if using a hologram allows us to continue to elevate their, you know, their accomplishments for people that didn't get a chance to enjoy them while they were here, that's great. It's just that seeing something in the physical form that you know was lost in the spiritual form, I just don't know how I would respond to that. That's why I wanted to go see it. Like, literally, like, I had Countdown Friday and Saturday. And one of the years, I went. Like, straight
on
up.
On Countdown Day? Or after Countdown?
I went after Countdown. I drove. It's like a 2-hour drive?
Yeah, 2.5 hours, yeah.
Yeah. I went after Countdown.
Man, I don't remember getting the invite to that, Jay. Huh. Seems like I get invited whenever you're doing boring stuff. But when you do fun stuff, I don't get the invite.
Peeps rented a crib. Had a pool. You know, it was fun.
Co-ed situation in the pool?
I blended in not so well with the crowd. You know, I was ready to rock my fresh kicks, not get them muddy.
Yeah, you don't do enough drugs for Coachella, Jalen. You don't do enough drugs for Coachella.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta do some Class A stuff.
I wanted to hear the music, but I wanted to be closer to the stage. You know, like stuff like that. You know.
So, Jalen, I'm gonna say something mature and thoughtful.
But I still gotta tell you why Big Tupac will win. We'll come back to that. Go ahead.
Subjectively, I prefer Biggie's music. However, objectively, in this format, Tupac would win. His catalog is just so much longer. His range is just so different. Like, I would say that Biggie's top 5 songs are better than Tupac's top 5 songs, but we're going 20 tracks deep. You can start reaching when you get around the teens. You get late teens for Biggie, you can start reaching a little bit. And with Tupac, he does have 20 songs that everybody knows every word to. So I would say that in this battle, Tupac would probably be favored and would probably, quote unquote, win. But personally, I prefer Biggie million times more than Tupac. I think being in New York City in the mid-90s, you just kind of have to roll with Biggie. That's just kind of way it is.
Being from the Midwest, clearly spending time on the East Coast and the West Coast, it was almost like when the Capitol was getting stormed. That was one of those things where we just sat back and watched. You know, like, we literally just sat back and watched it happen. And it really became so personal and so violent and planted so many seeds of disdain for one coast versus the other that still exists. Like, this still exists. People on the West Coast still feel a certain type of way about the Notorious Big and some of the things he was saying in his songs and or vice versa. Because those records cut deep. Those relationships, you know, these were two giants in the industry.
And you know what? Let me just speak up for New York for 1 second. Is New Yorkers still feel like they got the best hip hop? It's like, that was decades ago, guys. Like, New Yorkers need to look in the mirror and be like, you had the belt for a while, but you haven't seen that championship belt for like 15 years. Like, let's be honest, Atlanta, Los Angeles, Houston, there's a lot of other cities that have had that belt. It has not been in New York City for quite some time. There's some great artists in New York, some popular artists in New York. Pop Smoke is on the radio every day. CJ's got that Whoopty song, which is hot. Brooklyn Drill is kind of a bubbling thing, but I'm telling you, New York does not have the belt anymore.
Reg, hit the brakes. Hit the brakes, Reg. See, this is exactly why before every show, I boss up. This is exactly why before every show I say, what up, though? This is exactly why on the logo of this show it says Detroit across my chest. Because you had the nerve to omit Detroit when you start talking about greatest artists the last 10 years. Did you ever heard of Marshall Mathers? You ever heard of Big Sean? You ever heard of them?
Yes.
Don't leave Detroit out.
Okay,
don't do that.
Listen, I appreciate your loyalty, but if you're really going to speak into a microphone and say that Detroit at some point had the deepest, best roster of hip-hop musicians and songs out and popularity nationwide,
it's happening right now.
Okay.
It's happening right now. It's been happening.
You're right, Jalen. Like, you're right.
Like, Big Sean you're is right, a Jalen. Superstar, dog. Where you been?
No one denied that. No one denied that, Jalen.
Where
you're
you
right.
Been?
You're absolutely. You know what, Jalen? You're 100%
T-Grizzly?
Right.
Baldy
you know what? You're 100%
James?
Right. Those are great artists. Those are great artists. All of them. I love all those artists.
Cash Out, Doughboys.
Jalen, you're right, Jalen. You're absolutely right.
Cheddar Boys.
Jalen,
come on,
I'm gonna
man.
Move on.
You gotta listen to Detroit too. Listen to that posse cut on Detroit too.
So there's a little bit of this last season, but we have a UCLA genius.
Cash Dow.
Nia Dennis. She did a floor routine that involved Kendrick, Missy, Soulja Boy, Dr. Dre, many hits. And it was the most exciting piece of gymnastics I've ever seen in my whole entire life. I'm telling you.
Is this the same young lady
yes.
that did the Michael Jackson?
No, different. She's from UCLA. I believe that was a USC or Stanford gymnast. No, different one. Nia Dennis, different, but she killed it. She's dancing. She's flipping around. She's landing everything. I just love what's happening in the floor routines and gymnastics right now.
Well, no. Say what's really happening. Say what's really happening. I didn't see this. And by the way, I didn't see this video.
Okay.
I didn't see this video.
Okay.
But I'll bet anything she looks like me.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Okay. Now, how confident am I to say that into a microphone on a live podcast? Well, I must make sure I acknowledge really what happened. What you said happened was the corporate version of what happened. What actually happened is what happened when Tiger Woods started playing golf. It's the same thing when we're the minority in a sport, and then all of a sudden we get a chance to express ourselves and invoke our flavor and our culture on the sport like the Williams sisters did in tennis, it becomes a game changer. I just wish our culture was for sale. You know, if I wanted to go learn a secondary language, I would have to pay for that, right? I wish people would have to pay to cherry pick the African-American and hip-hop experience and culture. I really do. That's the reparations that I want to see happen at some point.
So how would that work exactly? So how would that work?
So
like before I learned how to crip walk, I would have to like Venmo somebody $300.
No,
like I want to learn how to crip walk. Who do I got to Venmo?
No, it's like,
nope.
No. Here's what it is. Before you go on TV with an NWA album cover behind you, right? You gotta mm-hmm. be in the meetings representing that for at least 10 years. You can't be able to turn it off and turn it on. Is that fair to say?
Okay. I gotta Venmo somebody $10 before I put an MLK quote up on MLK Day?
No, here it is. Here it is. Fashion advice, you gotta pay for it. You know?
Like a consulting
language.
Fee.
Yeah, like language and slanguage. And like right now, that's why we started retiring words on this show. We started to realize things that were happening became mainstream so fast with social media. Like we stopped saying swag 5 years ago. We stopped saying it 5 minutes after it happened. We was like, oh no. Like people in the White House saying like, oh no. We was like, ah! We turned off that street. We retired that in LA. And then mm-hmm. people still saying it.
Still saying it. I'm looking at it right now. Right inside the studio, we have our retired
you know
words hanging
saying?
From the rafters. Pause is retired. Wife beater is retired. Shift is retired. Bust is retired. Swagger is retired.
And you know what's not up there that our audience would appreciate this as being broken news is we were calling them the Washington football team for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
For 10 years. You could go back and see Kangaroo Jalen saying this 10 years ago. You could go back to see Jacoby before he ran a marathon and decided to get his hair cut and look handsome with collared shirts every day. This footage exists.
Jalen.
Our culture should be sold and bought. I'm dead serious. And really, all you got to do is one thing. Social Security number, account and routing. That's all you need. I just saw America do it. I got faith in Old Glory. I saw her do it. $600 is a mockery. But I saw her do it. It exists. I have faith, Jacoby. It's going to happen. It is going to happen.
Keep the faith.
And I guarantee you, when I become mayor of Detroit, it's going to be some reparations.
I don't think that's how the mayor works. You should run on that platform. Be like, listen, y'all vote for me, I pay you the next day. That's the platform you should run on, Jalen.
Straight up. It's going to be some reparations.
So, let me tell you something, though, because you always say you want to do these things. You want to be GM of an NBA team, a head coach of a college team, and be the mayor of Detroit. You know that that's real work, right? It's not like this where you can just like kind of show up and talk for an hour and then go back to your regular life. Like, they got real responsibilities and meetings and budgets and Excel spreadsheets. Like, you're going to need to use an actual computer. I've never seen you in front of a computer at work. You know what? Come to find out, I've never seen you in front of a computer. Do you have a laptop? Like, do you have a computer? Do you own a computer?
Oh,
like, an
man.
Actual computer with a keyboard? Do you own one?
That is
do you
hilarious.
Own one?
David Jacoby.
Mm-hmm.
I have a computer. On that same computer, I'm going to interview Van Jones this week for Renaissance Man. I also have a microphone that kind of resembles the one that you have that I plug in and use. I also have an iPad to help cheat my vision because I can't do it on my phone anymore. Trying to squint and get the questions and emails
so
while I'm trying to.
You use an iPad instead of an iPhone because you can't see nothing.
And I blow it up so I can see it. And I put it as close to the laptop as possible. So the world thinks I'm looking at the computer the entire time, but I'm actually staring at the laptop that has all of the information on it.
Big shout out to your producers on Renaissance Man. Big shout out to them. Because they're just learning what
shout
it's like to
Corey.
Work with Jalen Rose.
Shout
Big shout out to Corey.
Shout out to Jamila.
Big shout out to Corey.
I love
don't try
them.
To, don't, try to, don't, try to, don't try to name everybody. You're not good at that. But big shout out to Corey and Jamila.
Thank you.
Big shout out to Corey and Jamila.
So,
they're
yes,
learning
I
what
have
it's like
computer,
to work with Jalen Rose.
But you reminded me of something. In order to be a multitasker, you have to work efficient. And it's more effective for me instead of sitting there doing one long email that's gonna take me 30 minutes to actually call that person for 5 minutes.
Oh yeah, Jay don't write emails. You don't write emails. You don't write emails. You rarely get emails from Jalen Anthony Rose.
It's just more efficient. For everything that I juggle to do it that way.
So Jalen has a desk here. Now you have an office. I don't know if you know. You've got an office that you share with your lovely wife. You haven't been to the studio forever, so you don't even know you have an office. But previously, Jalen had a desk right next to my desk. And one time, Jalen had to like Google something or something. And I was like, just use the computer. He's like, I don't know how to log on. So I don't even know what you were using your desk for. Like, a desk is like, you use it as like a shelf. It was just basically a shelf for you. That's what it was. It was a chair and a shelf. The computer might as well not be there. You're like, I don't even know how to log on to it. He's like, I don't even know how to turn this thing on. I don't know how this computer works. That is the epitome of working with Jalen Rose. But to be fair,
man.
I do most of the stuff on my phone anyway.
That's hilarious.
I do everything on my phone too. Like when
so
I was taking notes watching the championship games, I was doing it on my phone.
So they probably noticed that it was like, he needs a space where he can use the phone and have some privacy. He don't need a computer and a desk. So that actually was a good move. Great job, but teammates.
You haven't seen him, but Molly took over the whole office. So you're sharing an office with Molly now. She took over the whole thing. She got a whole wardrobe rack in there. She got it's all Mollied out. Like, you're just trying to be like, this is, why's my name on this office?
Cause she the talent in the family.
Yeah, she is the real talent. She's the only hardworking person in the family. Jalen, did you see the Trey Songz video from the AFC Championship game?
I did. When he had the altercation with the police.
He had an altercation with the police. The witnesses around say that it was an unjust mistreatment by the police. We didn't see the whole video. I don't know the whole incident, so I can't speak on it from a position of, like, saying what happened. But from what I saw and from what I heard, he was being heckled by some other fans behind him, and he turned around and addressed them and asked them to, quote-unquote, chill. This is all from TMZ. And then an officer came, and instead of bothering the people that were bothering him, the officer came and started with him, and then it turned physical, and then other officers came, and then he ends up being in holding for trespassing and assaulting an officer and all this other stuff. But it was just another situation in which the racial aspect is not an undertone. It sounds like someone at Arrowhead came over and heard there was an altercation and decided to, I don't know, arrest the black guy.
I love you very much, dog, and Our show is really important for the voices and the platform that we have, and the way you love your culture and embody your family name. And it's important to continue to be a great man and leave a legacy. I feel the exact same way. And the beauty about this show is we can be unfiltered and hopefully now start getting to the root of some issues that have existed in our country for an extreme long time, but there are always certain amount of people that want to dismiss them like they're not happening. And one of the elephants in the room is when black people have interactions with law enforcement or police. It could be George Zimmerman, who tragically killed Trayvon Martin. It could be Trey Songz at a Chiefs game. It could be George Floyd. It could be Breonna Taylor. It could be Emmett Till. There are people that, you know, say so many times, don't make it about race, don't make it about race. But then Fred Hampton thing happens, and it's like, yo, the race is in our face of how when law enforcement decides to approach assailants that look like me, they decide that they want to discipline them at the same time versus assessing the situation. You and I both know. And it ain't just black people. If anybody besides American white people was climbing the walls of the Capitol building, like Spider-Man, we all know they would have been disciplined. We know that.
I'll
just use that as a term.
Disciplined to say the least.
Right? We know that they would have been disciplined, right? And you can name the nationality. You can name the race. Would have been disciplined. So you had a football game. And based on how much football tickets cost, majority of the players on the field are black. But the majority of the people in the stands are white. I didn't make up this dynamic. The dollar did. The power dynamic did. One of them just so happens to be Trey Songz, who isn't going to be looked at as the normal black guy because he actually is successful. He's an entertainer. He has fans. He has money. He has talent. So automatically, that allows him to be in that circle, and it allows him now to hopefully enjoy the football game. And you and I know Griselda was also there. They were also in the minority at that football game. So law enforcement, I'll call them that because I don't know if they were police or security or whatever. Mm-hmm. They come to the scene of the disagreement. They're going to assess everybody's body language. They're going to assess who's pointing fingers and who's saying what. But the disappointing thing that always happens is they always assess who's black. And then all of a sudden they want to address that person first. Like, it's almost like if you get into a fight, they say punch the bully. And then all of a sudden you may send a message to everybody else. So they were trying to send a message to him. They were trying to send a message to him for no reason. All that ain't even necessary. And by the way, everybody's supposed to be socially distancing. It's a fraction of the people there that normally would be there. Everybody should be wearing masks. Like in a hostile environment, which a sporting event can be, and I've been heckled at sporting events, but for me, it's free game depending on what they say. So if I'm at a Laker game and they scream at 81 at me, that's free game. Because guess what? Kobe Bryant scored 81 points and I was on the Toronto Raptors, and that happened in an NBA basketball game. That's free game. Anything that happened while I'm in uniform, that's fair game. We don't know what they were saying to him.
Nope.
We don't know what they were saying to him. But I believe you told me at least something that he said to them. And what did you say that he said to them?
In the TMZ article, it says he asked them to, quote unquote, chill.
Okay. So, when you go out of bounds and I ask you to chill and you don't chill, now you're testing me. And you're making my enjoyment of this environment uncomfortable because you heckling me. You're harassing me. You bothering me. But the police want to come over and discipline me, right? That's the level of privilege that is still taking place. And I'm so happy that we now have cell phones and social media for so many people who even wanted to de-brown it and act like it wasn't happening. Put the blindfold on. It ain't happening. No way. Like, Jacoby, it's not only happening at the Capitol building. This is what happens in boardrooms. This is what happens in contract negotiations. This is what happened when we're redlining districts for schools. This is why my community is filled with funeral homes and liquor stores and flower shops. Gas stations, right? Not supermarkets. And so I'm really disappointed in this. But again, I'm glad that people continue to get footage of this because field position happens. I know there are some fair-minded people that's going to listen to you and listen to me and watch those videos of George Floyd and of Trey Songz. And they'll be like, you know what? The cops at the Capitol building was letting them in. Did you see him? Did you see the dude move the barrier?
Yes.
They moved a barrier, dog. We get water hosed. We get dogs sicked on us. And I just know it's fair-minded people to see this field position happening. And we're going to keep making progress.
Of course we will. We have time for a couple of voicemails. If you call 985-80-JALEN, you can leave us voicemails. We need you to do that right now. Push pause on the podcast. Call 985-80-JALEN.
I like how you do
that. Let us know your feelings. Ask a question, advice, anything you need. We'll put it on the show just like this. Hit it.
Yo, what up, y'all? It's your fan, Big Crown, right here. Yo, shout out to everybody. Shout out to Big Reg, for sure. Got a quick question for my fam, Jalen. Have you spent more money in the gentleman establishments or in a barbershop during your career? I need a figure, man. Give me a $1,000 range of how much you spent in each.
First of all, biggest of shouts to Big Crown, the greatest mail carrier to ever carry a letter. Big Crown, part of the family here. He's been rocking with us for years. So, Jalen, not only did he ask a great question, have you spent more money in barbershops or gentlemen's clubs over the course of your career? But he wants an estimate. And I want you to show your work. So, Jalen Anthony Rose, you spent a lot more in a haircut than the rest of us. And you spent a lot more in a gentleman's club than the rest of us. So, Jalen, you have two questions. First question is, which establishments over the course of your life have you spent more money at? How much money are we talking about?
This is the greatest question I've ever been asked.
I can tell you're really thinking about it.
Big Crown, we love you. We appreciate your continued support.
And you know what? Honestly, you're retired from both. You're retired from both because you haven't had a fresh cut in like 6 months. And you don't go to gentlemen's clubs anymore. You're basically retired from both. It's really sad. It's really sad what's happened to your hair.
You know, it was that Christmas Day snafu. Here's what I'll say. Because I don't want to go Wilt Chamberlain here and give an arbitrary figure that's going to be an anchor to the rest
forever.
Of my life.
Yeah. Wilt Chamberlain just talking one
works.
Day. Wilt Chamberlain just talking one
works.
Day.
I know
just
how
talking.
That works.
It got stuck to him.
And I don't want my grandkids and my great-grandkids to hear this footage. So just so y'all know, unfortunately, when you in the court system and, you know, the judge slap you with a bail, they give you 10%, right? So the figure I say might be 10%. Might be. I am not going to incriminate myself for you, Big Crown. But I am going to answer your question right between the eyeballs. Reg the Ledge, boy, I tell you. I love this show so much. I would say, at gentlemen's establishments in my career, I would be disappointed if I haven't spent between 1.5 and 2 million.
Whoa! 1.5 and 2 million dollars? American dollars?
I would be disappointed if I did.
You've been giving a lot back to the community, Mr. Rose. When were you at your peak? Like, when were you just like at your peak? I don't even know how to spend. I don't even know how to spend $1,000 at a gentleman's club. I'm cheap.
Like, you know, during the pandemic, and now we use the term strip club more frequent, but it used to be gentlemen's clubs. Literally, where you could go eat good, like any great restaurant, any whatever you would get on the menu. And by the way, for those that don't know, David Jacoby, Jalen Rose met at Stroker Strip Club in Georgia. That contributed to that 1.52 million. You was giving back to the community that day.
Not much.
And I would say my Star Wars peak, my R2-D2.
You don't even know what that means. My Star Wars peak, my R2-D2. I love you so much. R2-D2 Star Wars peak.
Yeah, I would say during the bling bling era, early 2000s.
Early 2000s. You're in the league and, like, let's say you've got 41 road games because you know you're not making the playoffs. So you got 41 road games. Of those road games, how many times would you be in a gentleman's club when you're in those cities?
75%?
Yeah, so it's about 30.25?
Yeah, like 75%.
Yeah.
Here's what makes it a gentleman's atmosphere for someone like me.
Okay.
I'm old and washed up and married now. My kids are the greatest. I'm giving you guys like just, you know, real spill about being a public figure and an entertainer. When you leave your house to go kick it or get it in or go to dinner or go to a restaurant or go to a club or go to a happy hour or go meet up with your friends or whatever, there are a couple of common denominators that happen in those situations, whether you realize it or not.
Okay.
Number one, each of those places are gonna have drinks.
Adult beverages.
Right? They're gonna have drinks. And some people may or may not choose to do medicinal, however they choose. But
when
definitely the drink.
When recreational use is legal.
Right.
When recreational use is legal in that
right?
state.
Right, because some places yeah. allow you
otherwise,
to
otherwise, no
partake,
way.
And some people don't, some places don't allow you to partake. But we're taking it early 2000s, bling bling era. You were allowed to partake in most of the establishments. You know, like, it just was what it was. And so, drinks are a common denominator. The other thing that's a common denominator, music. Listen to our show right now, it's musical. When you get in an elevator, it's musical. That's a sporting event, it's musical. Hanging out with your friends, it's musical. So in theory, you could get those two things anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You can get those, you can actually get those at home even.
At the crib, yeah. Spotify right? and a glass of wine.
Right, you can actually, but if I'm going to leave my house.
Oh.
And I want to meet up with friends and or be by myself or be with one person. When you go to a club or a restaurant, it's a lot more strangers there.
Mm-hmm.
And that means it's also a higher percentage of an opportunity that something bad can happen.
Or good.
Because people are doing what I said also. They're also having drinks and they're also listening to music. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So something bad can happen. So first off, a gentleman club just shrinks the audience of people that you deal with. Because you got to be 21, you know, it's a little security to get in, you know, they frisk you, you might have to go through a metal detector, you
oh, I
know,
love
like,
this angle.
You
go to strip clubs not to look at the naked women, but just to be around less strangers. Is that what you're pitching me?
It's a lifestyle. It's not
oh, okay.
just about it's not just about the entertainers.
Okay.
I'm leaving my home to go have a good time. And I can have drinks and listen to music. Didn't you just say I can do that at home?
Mm-hmm. You can.
Okay. So if I want to leave my house, I want to try to have the most fun, but be the safest. And as a public figure, shake less hands and kiss the least babies as possible. Because this is my me time. This ain't the Jalen and Jacoby time, the Renaissance man time, the countdown time. This is my me time. If I want to hang out with my good friend, or if I want to hang out with my family members, right? So boom, that now creates a safer infrastructure.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? Just the whole
yes.
the whole thing about going into an adult entertainment establishment versus going into a restaurant or a club. Guess what ain't at a restaurant? Security. You know that, right? When was the last time you went to a restaurant and you had to go through a metal detector?
Never a clock.
But you know what happens at restaurants? Altercations all of the time.
Ask Blake
Griffin. You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? And I don't even have to talk about clubs.
Mm.
I don't even have to talk about the altercation that can happen at clubs. And so, first off, the environment allows me to take a deep breath, man. I work hard,
because
man.
Because I know you work really hard and you're very recognizable. And there's a lot of stress in your everyday life. People pulling you in different directions.
Yeah.
You should be able to breathe. If
right.
that's where you need to breathe, then good for you.
Right. And so now I get to relax with the people or person, friends I love or whatever. So
Jalen,
now.
I have a question. Will you come out of retirement for one game? Will you come out of retirement for one more game after the pandemic's over? Just one game?
I don't know. I'm going to have like some grandkids for that to happen or something. It'd have to be something like monumental. Like
that's a yes, by the way. For the people listening, that's not a no. That's not a no. That's not a no for the people listening. Like, he didn't say no. He didn't say no. He just deflected
but
a little bit.
The, But here's the thing, as a public figure, people don't like when you phony. And so what we've done on this show and how we've become as multimedia personalities is we've owned the things that we do that may be considered imperfect. So we don't try to come off like we holier than thou, and we're far from perfect. But let me get back to the environment. So now I'm safe.
You're safe. Good, good, good.
Now
you're
safe. I'm safe. Right now I'm safe. And I get to have drinks here, right?
Yep.
I get to hear music here, right?
Yep.
As a matter of fact, I could tip the person that's bringing me drinks, and I could tip the person that's playing music, and actually drink what I want and hear what I want now.
I've seen you do it before.
Oh man, this is like home. You said I could do this at home? Well, now I am at home. I'm getting the drinks that I want, and I'm getting the music that I want. And you know what else is gonna happen? I'm gonna look down at the table. There's a menu on the table.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna pick a place that I like the food. So now I get to eat, drink, and hear music. And then, before I get to the most important thing about the adult entertainment establishment is because there are entertainers there, the other men at the place better not, should not be looking at me, thinking about me, taking pictures of me, wanting my autograph, wanting to kick it with me at all. Because y'all should be focused on them, not me. It creates that vibe. Because being at an adult entertainment spot is like talking to a person in the bathroom. It's like, all right, like for real, like come on, man. Like seriously, like you talk, like seriously? And it's the same thing when you at that spot. It's a gentleman's atmosphere. You ain't, you know what I mean? And so last but not least, and I'll wrap it with this. The amazing, wonderful, terrific, artistic, athletic, strong, disciplined, hardworking, beautiful dancers on the stage.
Just happen to be there. It's really, you're there for everything else. But I like how you basically said you leave your home to recreate your home, not in your home. You leave your home to a place where you can eat what you want, drink what you want, listen to what you want, and be left alone. That is your home, Jalen Anthony Rose. That is your home.
And that's why that dollar figure is between 1.5 and 2. But the second part of your question, Big Crown, for barbers, I would say 500,000. And also, here's the challenge I want for everybody. Because people are gonna look at those arbitrary numbers that I believe may be fact, I may even be 10%. They're gonna look at those numbers. Take any habit that you have. It could be buying smoothies, it could be buying coffee,
love smoothies.
It could be where you go to dinner, where you go to lunch, it could be the medicinal, it could be the beverages. Take any habit that you have, something that you do almost every single day, and you total that up 5, 6, 7 days a week for 4 weeks in a month. Times 12 months. That's gonna be a real number in your life.
Mm-hmm. Jalen, I love you so much because we'll spend 5 minutes breaking down the AFC Championship game, but you'll spend 50 minutes breaking down the strip club environment, which is why I love this program, Jalen Jacoby. We will be back tomorrow. Why is that, Jalen Anthony Rose?
We're not done. We're not done. We're not done. Got to give the people.